Now, this year, the Daniel O'Connell School will take place in Carrasaveen and Derrynane on Friday and Saturday. It's tomorrow and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of October. The ninth year of the school, the school's highlight will be the Daniel O'Connell Lecture. This year, it'll be given by former Taoiseach Bertie O'Hearn, given in the form of an interview, which will be conducted by Stephen Collins of the Irish Times, and will range over all sorts of issues, including this current state of Anglo-Irish relations and Brexit. The school will also be addressed by Senator Mark Daly, Cathaoirleach of the Shannon, who will talk about the role and function of the Senate over its 100-year history that they're celebrating this year. There'll be talks as well on the international context of the Irish Civil War. Ireland's First Lady, a descendant of O'Connell, Richard O'Connell, will give a talk on how O'Connell was lampooned in the press at the times. There'll also be a talk on the Spanish flu of 1918. And also at the Daniel O'Connell School is the launch of a new book on the life of times of Kerry woman Kathleen O'Connell, born in 1888, Eamon de Valera's indispensable secretary. It'll be launched this weekend as part of the school. It was written by Patrick and Paul Murray, and Radio Kerry's Amber Galway spoke to Paul earlier.
First of all, I have to declare that my role in this is minimal, in that this is substantively my dad's research and work. My role was to assist him to edit the material, to identify areas that could be expanded upon, and also I brought some new research to the project, but essentially, my role was akin to a pilot landing another pilot's plane within sight of a runway. So it's effectively 30 years of research that my dad undertook, and it has now come to fruition. The book came about largely because of my dad's late sister, Josephine Iwiri, my aunt. She was a lifelong friend of Mary O'Kelly, who was the niece of Kathleen O'Connell. And it was Mary's wish that her aunt would be commemorated by way of a publication. So my father was happy to accept the offer to do it, and in 1993 he produced a two-volume account of Kathleen's life and times for Mary, with a view to Mary getting it published. Unfortunately, ill health prevented Mary from being able to get it published, and upon her death in 2013, her nephew Eamon O'Farrell and her niece Siobhan O'Kelly were sorting through her personal effects. They unearthed the volumes, and Eamon approached my dad with a view to getting it published. So, happily, my dad approached Eamon de Borca, and he was very enthusiastic about the idea of Kathleen O'Connell being commemorated, and he could see that it was a topic that hadn't ever been encountered to that extent before. So from there we have the publications. Apart from what my dad produced for Mary O'Kelly in 1993, there was an Era Ireland article which dealt with Kathleen O'Connell as De Valera's indispensable secretary, but that would be a relatively smaller scale study than this one.
Fantastic. And Paul, you mentioned Kathleen O'Connell, and that's who the book is about. So can you tell me who she was, I suppose, and talk a bit about her Kerry origins?
She was born in Cahardaniel or Cahardonal on the 5th of October 1888, and she was a member of a family of 11. Her parents were John and Marianne O'Connell. Her mother was a teacher. She belonged to a branch of the O'Sullivan family of Kerry, I think is how you describe it. Her father, James O'Sullivan, was a teacher in Cahardaniel. And he was actually suspended from his duties for his Fenian activities. So there was a strong Republican Fenian background there. She was a proud Kerry woman, and she never forgot her Kerry origins. So I think it's very fitting that she is actually being commemorated in her birth county and among Kerry people. I think that's important to mention, that it's fitting and significant that that is the case. So she has a long and distinguished Republican and Fenian tradition there, so she would have been steeped in that branch of history.
Paul, you mentioned there Kathleen would have been known locally, and a plaque has been unveiled to her in her own area. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, in 2016, in conjunction with some of the anniversaries which were commemorated around the Rising, the 100 years of the Rising, there was a plaque unveiled to her in Cahardonal, and that was a very, very interesting event because it was a local acknowledgement of her. But one thing that my father in particular was puzzled at was why there hadn't been any substantive or significant study undertaken in relation to her, and that is now rectified, but he was a little surprised that it hadn't been done because she is or was quite a significant figure. It was fitting in 2016 that she was acknowledged, but now there is a more substantive acknowledgement of her, which I think is important at this stage.
It certainly is. And she led a very interesting life. I know she went to America in 1904, and it was there that she got involved in the independence movement and ultimately met Eamon de Valera. So can you just explain to us how all that did come about?
Well, when she was in America, she spent a long number of years there before encountering de Valera. But when she met him, it was in the context of secretarial duties that she undertook for him. And he immediately recognised her talents, her abilities, and particularly her confidential nature. And that was something that was very, very helpful, particularly during the War of Independence and the Civil War, when obviously secrecy could be a matter of life and death. So a huge degree of trust developed there, and that's why the working relationship was so solid right up to her death, because de Valera could always trust her and never had to second guess what she might or might not do.
They developed a very strong working relationship, as you just touched on there, and she stuck with him through thick and thin when he was on the run and everything, and in hiding during the war years. And I suppose you did mention it there, but that was very significant and very important.
It was, and I think a lot of her fidelity towards de Valera, it was based on her vision of him maybe as a leader, his representation of the ideal of the Republic, and maybe the leader, the visionary that was needed post-independence to help the country to develop and form. I think there was a good deal of that in her mind, and she felt that this was somebody who was going to make a big difference to the nation.
She left a great legacy as well, Paul, in her papers, which many of Eamon de Valera's own biographers would have used extensively. It was kind of a record of what was going on maybe behind the scenes at various stages in his time in and out of power.
It is. Well, the study that my father undertook, which was completed in 1993, that was based on his access to the Kathleen O'Connell diaries. And they are quite revelatory in that you do gain a big insight into de Valera's mind through those. You can see she can work out how he's thinking and how things affected him and how he felt about them. So, yes, it does give a very, very revelatory account of those times, and her own views on things, her own emotions, sadness, happiness, the panoply of emotions are there. So it is a very, very interesting and unique account of how things operated or developed during those years.
And you did touch on it earlier on as well, Paul, but it's lovely to see that, you know, she's being recognised, I suppose, in her own area before, but she's being recognised a bit more broadly now and her story is being told. That's fantastic, because she does deserve to be celebrated, especially here in Kerry.
I think so, because her role as de Valera's right hand, as he often referred to her, is significant, because she short-circuited a lot of things that he would have had to undertake, and it mightn't have been as easy for him to do it as she did. She was very, very astute in a lot of ways, and she could short-circuit the difficulties that she could see approaching, and she certainly looked out for his best interests at all times. And I would say that she was very watchful of current affairs. I might give one example to show how diligent she was in making sure that he was always recognised. She was very keen on keeping him in the public eye or in focus. And in 1952, the annual Dublin Horse Show was being held. De Valera presented prizes to winners on behalf of the government, but she was annoyed to discover that he wasn't acknowledged on the Radio Éire news early and middle points of the day. So she pursued that to the very end and made sure that his name was read out on the 10 o'clock news. So that's a small account or example of how things work, but she was very, very keen to make sure that his persona or his presence was not forgotten about. So he was in safe hands there from the point of view of his own profile and that. Now, he wasn't always keen on pushing his presence, but she felt it was essential to keep him in focus at all times. So she was very keen to maintain a presence for him, if you know what I mean.
I certainly do. That's very interesting. And I know you're launching the book this weekend, so it's called The Life and Times of Kathleen O'Connell, 1888 to 1956, Eamon de Valera's Indispensable Secretary. Mm-hmm. And it's launching this week at the Daniel O'Connell Summer School. Can you tell us about it, and I suppose where the launch is taking place and what time it's happening?
The launch is in the afternoon on Saturday, and it's indeed part of the Daniel O'Connell Summer School, which is probably apt in itself, because De Valera would have been in the same branch of or tradition maybe in the independence movement as O'Connell and Parnell. So you could say that these O'Connell, Parnell and De Valera are part of a strand of nationalism of varying kinds. So it is significant. The book is being launched on Saturday. I know that a lot of members of the O'Connell and O'Kelly families will be there. So it'll be a significant family event for people related to and connected with Kathleen. And I think it'll be a very, very enjoyable occasion, particularly for Kerry people, that a very distinguished daughter of Kerry is going to be commemorated in her birth county.
It certainly will, and it's a lovely occasion for the family as well, because this book will go some way in recognising her contribution to the struggle for independence and the foundation of the state as well. So it's great for them and a lovely occasion to see that she's being remembered.
Absolutely, and they can be justifiably proud of all she did. I might make one personal observation. I think in the current maybe climate of careerism and maybe people who have maybe career advancement in mind, Kathleen O'Connell was not a careerist. I think she was devoted to what she saw as national service, and everything she did was targeted towards being of benefit to Ireland or the nation. I think you don't think you would get that these days. I think it's quite unique. So selfless service at all times.
And finally, Paul, before I let you go, I know you wanted to tell us about another Kerry woman who also played a role in this book.
Yes, it's fitting, actually, that a person from Kerry, Ursula Ní Gawley, a former executive editor with the Educational Company of Ireland, she's a Kerry woman. Her parents would hail from Tralee and Dingle, respectively. She was very helpful to us in editing the project at the end, making suggestions, proofreading it, and it benefited greatly from Ursula's input, and I'd like to thank her for all she did, her very diligent work over a long number of weeks. And as I've often said to Ursula, it's quite fitting that a Kerry woman helped to commemorate another Kerry woman. So I think that's important to mention.
It certainly is. Look, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. It sounds like a fantastic book, and congratulations to your dad, Patrick, and yourself as well for the work you both put into it.
Thank you, Amber. Before I finish, I would simply like to thank Eamon O'Farrell, who would be Kathleen's grandnephew and nephew of Mary O'Kelly. Eamon was very helpful at all times during the project and clarified certain items which arose. His cousin Siobhan O'Kelly word processed the original hard copy manuscript from 1993 and made it possible for us to work from a digital format. I also want to thank the publishers Eamon and William de Burke. It was a pleasure to work with them at all times, and they made the task very easy. And I'd like to congratulate Mark Rogers and Philip Higgins of Nace Printing for a production that we're very pleased with.
That's fantastic. Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the show.
Pleasure. Thank you.